Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 4th of December, 2011. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim spoke on New Covenant, and the reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. So let's go and join Tim as he's introducing the sermon.
Over these last few weeks, we have thought repeatedly about some of the new things that Jesus has introduced and desires for us as his people. And today, as I said earlier, that focus is on the new covenant. But when I was preparing, I was very conscious, it only seems yesterday, that I actually preached about the covenant. And actually, I gave you an overview of loads and loads of different aspects of the covenants that God makes to us. And rather than repeat, basically, the outline of the new covenant and what it looks like, today I've taken as my starting point in what I want to say a slightly different angle. It's really our response to the covenant of love that we have in Jesus. And I suppose if you like, if you want to sort of subtitle, it's a bit like being the church. What does what we have just shared together, how does that impact on us as individuals? How does this new covenant make a difference? We've remembered in communion the price that Jesus paid for us to be put in that position of being loved children of God. And wasn't that amazing that God loves us that much? And he has, through his sacrifice on the cross, given, if you like, a new and better way. I think that might be biblical. A new and better way for human beings to engage with God. And the new covenant isn't dependent on us, but actually on him. And with that in mind, the repercussions follow our life-changing encounter with the new covenant that Jesus has established. And so my message today is actually relatively simple. Don't know how many of you are pleased with that. How many of you think, no, we want to get into some meaty controversy? But the reality is we're just human beings. And sometimes we like to use lots of words to try and convey something about what it means to be church. But actually, it's really simple. It isn't that complicated. And the heart of what our being God's people together is summed up for me in some words from 2 Corinthians. Do you want to read this with me? But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I love that. What a promise. What a thing to take hold of and to actually start to live out. And the first thing I want to sort of pick up from that is that little phrase about being unveiled people. To remember that sort of comment there. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. At the Alpha course a few weeks ago, we were talking about how when Paul was converted, he had scales. And do you remember the bit in the story where he had scales? And when he was prayed for, it was like they fell away. It's a similar image here, but it's actually based in the Old Testament. It's based in the story of Moses. And Moses, as many of us know, met God at the burning bush in the desert. And in that first experience, he was brought to understand that he was in the presence of a holy God. And so his first reaction was to see his own sinfulness when compared with God's awesome and holy light. And we sometimes sing songs which have their basis in that experience, because we talk about taking off our shoes. And Moses actually felt he had to take off his shoes, and God told him to, because it was holy ground that he was entering. He was entering into God's presence. Nothing that was dirty, nothing that was, if you like, a symbol of our humanity and sinfulness was allowed to approach the holy God. And later, in his walk with the Lord, he was involved, obviously, in helping to lead the people out of Egypt. And he was then brought face to face again with God's glory when God gave him the Ten Commandments. And from that experience of being face to face with God, we learn in the Bible that actually he was so transformed that they could all see it in his face. His face shone with God's presence, with God's glory. And the people that he was leading were so scared, being open to such glory and holiness, that they became so scared that actually Moses veiled his face from them whenever he had been in God's presence. And he waited until the glory had faded a bit before he took the veil off. That's the background to this little passage. Because what Paul saw was that that veil that Moses would put on his face to stop the people from being scared, and actually, in fact, biblically it says to stop them from being killed because they were not holy, and it was God's holiness reflecting off Moses. What Paul says is that veil in Jesus is now taken away. And in the story of Jesus' crucifixion, we remember, don't we, that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And so there's lots of images present within this little phrase. And it's very clear that in Jesus, the old system, the old way of approaching God, the old relationship has now gone. It has been superseded by the new covenant in Jesus. Occasionally, I like to sort of read different translations, which sometimes just give you a little bit of an extra edge on what it's trying to communicate. And the message here is really helpful. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. Isn't that a nice phrase? Not just in rules and regulations like the Ten Commandments. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. I think that's a lovely phrase, a fantastic way of looking at what Jesus has achieved in this covenant we're celebrating. But like Moses, we're to recognize our humanness and our need. But unlike Moses, we're to stay open to God's gaze. We're to be deliberately unmasked, if you like, in our relationship with God and with one another. We're to be unveiled people. And as we come together and we live out our life with God day by day, we're able to be who we are supposed to be in our relationship with God. And here's a simple phrase, but I think it's very, very important. In Jesus, fear is replaced by love and grace. And so in Jesus, we no longer have to pretend. We don't have to pretend that we're perfect or better than we're supposed to be, better than we know that we are. We come to God to know his mercy and his grace because we recognize where we're coming from. And because of that, we're then able to be real in our relationships together. To be unveiled people is vital if we're going to be God's church. It's also about reflecting Jesus. And if you like to put that in more words, because I like words, it's about his character and priorities. To remember how that continues. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. And to reflect Jesus means to bounce back the light that he's shining into us. And we've thought previously, haven't we, that our role as church is to continue the work that Jesus began. And so this new covenant opens up the relationship between us and God to such a degree that we're then bathed in his presence. And when we think of the life of Jesus and we see his character and his priorities, they start to become our character and our priorities if we're going to live out as people of the new covenant, the church. So what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus went where people were. So can we, as we reflect him. Jesus came alongside people at their point of need. So can we, as we reflect him. Jesus had compassion and love motivating all of his actions. So can we, as we reflect him. Jesus brought healing and hope into people's experiences. So can we, as we reflect him. Jesus desired... Jesus desired to do his Father's will. That's a biggie, isn't it? Do you know, in that response song that we just sung, we talked about actually God stripping away our own hopes, desires, pride, priorities. Well, Jesus desired to do his Father's will. So can we, as we reflect him. And Jesus knew the reality of being tired, lonely, and hungry, and yet was fed by God's power. So can we, as we reflect him. So how do you feel this morning about reflecting Jesus? How do you feel you're doing in reflecting his light in your life? Hopefully you're not feeling too condemned this morning, but the thing is, I'm very conscious of my humanity when I start thinking about this. I'm conscious that there are times when I know that I'm reflecting Jesus in my life, but there are other times when I feel that my mirror is a bit dirty, a bit grubby. And yet reflecting him is not about me having the power and the ability myself, but it's about allowing his light to bounce off me. I'm not the light source. He is. But in this, however, we actually do have our own part to play, don't we? And that part is to put ourselves in places where we're going to be buffed up. I used to hate it when Mum had brass when I was growing up. Years ago, you know, everybody had brass, didn't they? And silver that you had to polish. What a boring job. But the reality is there is an image here, isn't there, that actually we're supposed to shine up who we are, not so that we're great, but so that we can reflect more fully the light that God wants to give to us and the glory that God wants us to know. And so meeting together, even Sundays like this, are part of that process, aren't they? It is part of that prayer and sharing and learning and growing and putting ourselves in places where the reality of who we are as God's people can start to be developed and deepened and grow. Our part is to make time for God to speak to us as we seek his presence face to face. Moses took time out to be with God, and so must we if we're going to absorb and reflect God's glory. And I want to be clear here, to reflect Jesus is our sole responsibility in being the church. It's a biggie. It's also about transformed lives. And we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. The Message again says it this way. Do you want to read with me? All of us, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of his face, and so we're transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. I believe that this world will be changed through churches being what they're supposed to be. That's the reality God wants us to live in. And there really is nothing else like church. There is nothing like church. And here's just a thought or two in relation to that. It's a gathering of ordinary people where every person is welcomed and accepted. Because don't we all need God's love and forgiveness? It's also a community where barriers are taken down and not put up. We're to be a body of people given the resources to bring wholeness to one another. And in all of this, our own personal transformation is foundational. And Paul gives this image of a gradual change taking place in people's lives as we grow as Christians. And so I hope you feel encouraged, because he says our being. He doesn't say we've got there yet. We haven't arrived. We're still a work in progress, as an artist might say. We are being transformed. And that requires us to desire and to give opportunity for that change to happen in our own lives. We are being transformed into his likeness. Now, Jesus' likeness is not my natural state. It might be yours, but it isn't mine. And the thing is, it has to be a transformation because it's not my natural state. And so I need to constantly be seeking Jesus. I need to constantly be looking to him to change me and to transform me. But the reality of all of this transformed lives is not just personal satisfaction. It's not just a personal fixation. It's actually a missionary call to bring the good news of Jesus that we have met and experienced to other people. And the thing is, as individual lives are changed, so communities are changed. countries are changed. And Jesus described this whole process about being like a mustard seed. Do you remember that? Tiny little seed. I don't know how you feel, whether you feel small sometimes. Well, praise God. That's where he says it starts. So if you ever feel small, be encouraged. You're in God's will. Because God says from that tiny little seed, it'll grow to become a huge tree. And so God's plans are for us to be transformed, so that others may be transformed, so that the world can be changed. And transformed lives lie at the center of being the church. It's all about being new covenant people. And the verses that we focused on this morning make it crystal clear that to be the people that God wants us to be, impacted by the new covenant that Jesus makes with us, is totally about God working. Because it comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And don't misunderstand me, but hear these words. Structures are important, but they're not the reason for growth and healing in being the church. Good teaching is helpful, but it's not the major factor in being the church. Inspiring worship is great, but it's not the heart of being the church. Knowing God's word is invaluable, but it's not the source of being the church. Being the church is all about God's work of mercy and grace. It's about him. It's the new covenant in action, enabling us to be unveiled people, reflecting Jesus as lives are transformed. I close by simply repeating the words of this reading. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old, constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. All of us, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. God's plans are for us to be transformed. What's God speaking to us this morning? Where we need the power of his transformation. Where we need to allow his glory to impact us. God's plans are for us to be transformed so that others may be transformed. And so we pray for those we know, who we love, who we're concerned about, for those we care deeply about, and yet still need your grace, Father, and your love, Jesus. Your power, Spirit. Lord, we pray for them now. God's plans are for us to be transformed, so that others may be transformed, so that our world can be changed. Lord, we look at our world and we see so many places and circumstances which seem outside of your love and outside of your grace, which are in direct opposition to the message of the gospel. And Lord, we pray for those places. We pray for those circumstances. We pray for those in authority to make a difference. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to always have faith and to be motivated to assist in making the change that you want. God's plans are for us to be transformed, so that others may be transformed, so that our world can be changed. Let's use the words that Jesus taught us to convey that to him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
If you'd like to leave a comment on the sermon, please do so over at minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And if you'd like to find out what's going on at MBC over Christmas, then please go to minehead-baptist.com/Christmas. And we'd love to see you at one of our Christmas services or activities. So thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.